Blog Talk Radio.
Although sometimes life throws you a curveball and life's problems may cause you to pause, Life with Michelle will help you heal and get through it all. Because she is helping all push past yield, she will make it a good day to smile. She will make it a good day to laugh. She will make it a good day to live, mixing all life's experiences in a bundle of love. She will guide you to the road of happy, because all is well on Life with Michelle, the Queen of Happy.
Detroit and all our global listeners, you're tuned in to the Poetic Energy Network station with your host, Miss Michelle E. Alford. And some of you know me as Poetic Energy, but today I'm wearing my life coaching hat, and you are tuned in to Life with Michelle of Mia Happy Life Coaching. I have a great topic to talk to you about today. It's just, you know, this segment, you know, my motto with Mia Happy Life Coaching is helping all push past yield. And that is something so important, because a lot of times people go through so many things in their life and they become stagnant and they stay in one position and they do not know how to push forward. And that's what I love doing, helping people to move past that point in their life, helping them to find their way. What we're going to be talking about today is self-healing. I want to give you a couple of steps to self-heal yourself, because, you know, a lot of times we look to someone else to guide us, and all the time it's not always an opportunity for you to have a person just right at your disposal to be able to help you move past that point. And this is why I'd like to I have this show, because I want to help you find your way. But in the interim, I want to be able to give you some tips to, you know, begin to the process yourself daily with moving. And so that's what we're going to do today. First, you know, like how I like to include for today, you know, I remember having morning inspirations with me, and I used to include on that segment of the show a piece of poetry. So today I'm going to read a poem, and then we're going to get right into our discussion. And I usually pick a poem. If I haven't written it myself, I'll just find a poet who has a poem that that really coincides with my topic. And definitely, we definitely give them a shout-out and give them their credit for their work. And today I'm going to be reading a poem by Nance O'Donnell. So, Nance, thank you for allowing us to use your poem and on the Poetic Energy Network station. This is a great, great piece that coincides with what I'm going to be talking about today. So we honor you today, and we say thank you for being such a great poet. All right. Now, this poem is, we're going to read it as such. The poem is entitled, "In Darkness Found Light." All right, here we go. Obstacles, challenges, life's puzzles amaze, grounded in fear, mentally dazed. Gone seem the days, spirit broken, listening for answers, purpose unspoken. Women inside suddenly vanish, drowning in self-pity, her sorrow, her anguish. Scattered again, thoughts feeling hopeless, losing one's faith, mind shifted, focus. gladness, sadness through smiles and tears, toxic emotions trapped over years. Peace, contentment, joy, laughter found in the now, not wait for the hereafter. And that piece is by Nancy O'Donnell. And the reason why I wanted to read that poem, because, you know, my idea is to speak to women because I'm coming from a woman's point of view, but of course men can be helped as well from anything that's said. But if you listen to the piece of poetry that she wrote, talking about obstacles, challenges, life puzzles, amazed, grounded in fear, mentally dazed, a lot of times people live their lives afraid to do something different, afraid to progress in their life, afraid to change their own lives because they fear the unknown. And when I saw this poem, I said, oh, wow, this fits perfect with what I wanted to discuss today. And it ties in with self-healing. You have to get to a point in your life, if you say, you know, because so many people say that they want to progress in their life. They want to change. They want to do better. They want to be successful. But there are some things that are blocking them in their lives. And mainly it's because one of the things that's blocking them here, obstacles, challenges. We are afraid of those things. We don't know how to get past the obstacle course and jump and you know, climb those mountains. We don't know how to do that. So this is how I'm gonna tell you to do that today. Give you 7 steps on how to do that. Our first step is learning how to properly relax. A lot of times we have different things they're dealing with, and you notice if you can't really function if your mind is so clouded with so much baggage, mental baggage, and dealing with the cares of this life. So you can't really function to receive new information or to receive new inspiration or to receive motivation because your focus is on all the negative things that are going on in your life. So step number one is learning how to properly relax. And I've said in many, many, many other segments about meditation, how that process, that practice in your life helps you to relax mentally as well as physically. A lot of people in the Black culture are afraid to meditate, or they are not as receiving or receiving of meditation because they think it's something that's associated with religion, and it is not. It's just a practice, a common natural practice of relaxing yourself. Although there are a lot of religions who incorporate meditation in their religious practices, but it's not a religious thing. It's just a process, a natural process that you can use to relax yourself daily. One of the things I want to say, in order to reprogram you have to reprogram your subconscious mind, and in doing that, you have to relax yourself. And I always tell people to, if you notice that if you inhale and exhale, you begin to feel a feeling of enlightenment or a feeling of relief. When you inhale, you feel that enlightenment. Just subconsciously, you feel that it's like almost like a surge of energy you're allowing to go in. And you exhale, that's you allowing the negative energy to flow out of you. And let me tell you some of the things that I do to properly relax on top of meditation. I listen to a lot of audio meditation music, relaxing music, and it just doesn't have to be meditation music. It can be instrumental music that totally relaxes you. We have so much music that we listen to today, but sometimes you need to get in touch with that music that have no words, just a lovely melody. And I guarantee you'll begin to understand how peaceful, you'll begin to feel a peaceful experience because, you know, I know that I do when I incorporate that at the beginning of my day daily. And So audio meditation, that's part of step number one, the process of reprogramming your subconscious mind, so you can learn to relax in your life and begin to put yourself in a position where you are allowing yourself not to fear, not to be afraid to go and progress in your life and be successful in your life. And, I hear a lot of people say that they're afraid to be successful. So many people deal with that fear, that particular fear in general. People are afraid to be successful. They have it within them to be whatever they want to be. There are some people who aspire to be excellent writers, and they don't challenge themselves because of fear. You know, and they have the ability. That's what we as life coach, that's what I do as a life coach, help people to see their ability. The ability is already in you, but you have to just make up in your mind that you want to no longer hold your gift in position and deteriorating, really, because you're not using your gift, allowing yourself to be expose your talent, to be exposed to so many people that can need it. And really, I'm gonna just put it out there, it's being selfish, because when God gives you a gift, it means it's supposed to be shared. It means that when we have a ability as a poet, we have certain abilities, we're able to creatively put words together, and sometimes our words are healing. I call us poets modern day ministers and preachers and healers, because when you put the right type of words together, you do not know what a person is going through. And then they hear your piece of poetry and all of a sudden they burst in tears and it ministers to their spirit. And that's a phenomenal thing, to be able to use your words to cause someone else to be healed. So I want to say, stop being selfish, people, because when you have a gift, that means that God wants you to have that gift. He knows that you are able to take that gift to a next level if you just open up and allow him to use you in the proper way. I've run across so many people that are very, very talented, and they just don't want to, not that they don't want to, but they need somebody to just grab their hand and say, come on, get your gift out there, get yourself in motion, pick up, stop worrying about yesterday and stop worrying about this person saying that you are not good enough. Guess what? Usually when a person is telling you you're not good enough, that means they already see. They have one up on you because they recognize something great in you and you don't even recognize it yourself, and they're trying to keep you in position to keep you from moving forward. And you got to pay attention to all the things in your life. Usually when somebody is, they use the term hating, so for lack of a better word right now, I'm going to use the term hating for right now, because a lot of people that hate on you, you do not understand that when they're doing that, they recognize the quality in you. They recognize the gift in you. They recognize the talent in you. And and that's why they have one up on you, because they recognize it and you have the gift and you don't even recognize it. So you're putting them in a position, your haters in a position to have the upper hands, because they're trying to make sure you don't recognize that, begin to recognize the gift that you have and start using it. Because look out now, if you start using that talent and that gift, you will be a force to be reckoned with. Because when God gives us gifts and people begin to recognize it, there are just many opportunities will afford themselves to come before your threshold, and it's up to you to take those opportunities. But okay, all right, we went through the step number one, learning how to properly relax, inhale, exhale. We said last week to make sure you get into journaling your thoughts, because your thoughts, when you put them onto paper, that is also a form of relaxing and releasing. Writing your words, don't worry about grammatical errors, don't worry about spelling, none of that. Because if you are not aspiring to be a writer, that's okay. But the main part of that exercise is for you to begin to release and, you know, put your feelings, begin to express your feelings in a way that you may not express them verbally, just to get it out of you, just to get an inspiration for it, just to get, release the negative energy in you. And you just never know. It may come into a book because, you know, sometimes we don't realize that what we're holding in can, you know, just explode into something just so awesome. All right, let me keep it going here because, you know, time goes very quick, and I want to definitely get these 7 steps in. But I'd just like to say just briefly thank you all for tuning in, that's hanging out with me on the switchboard. I certainly appreciate your love and your support of the show. And you are tuned into Life with Michelle of Mia Happy Life Coaching, and we are talking about self-healing yourself. All right, let's keep it going here. Let's go back to the poem and kind of go over the second verse. It says, "Gone seem the days, spirit broken, listening for answers, purpose unspoken." Wow. When I read those lines, I said, you know what? A lot of people's spirits are broken. They're broken because they've listened to somebody that told them that they weren't good enough. They've listened to somebody that told them that they cannot do it. They've listened to someone that says that you have to be this or you have to be that in order for you to do this. And, you know, really subconsciously, when somebody else is constantly telling you you can't do something, if you allow it, it will affect you and it will make you second guess what you can and cannot do. And you have to be mindful of that because not everybody is in your corner, your winning corner. Not everybody is going to cheer you on. But you within yourself have to say, no matter what somebody else says that I can't do, I can do it. And I don't want to make this really spiritual or, you know, but there are scriptures that I can do all things through Christ. That if you're a follower of Christ or a higher power, just know that you already have the power within yourself to make things happen because only you know you. So many people may profess to know you, but they don't know you. They can't tell you the inner workings of your heart. They can't tell you what you desire to do or aspire to do. They can't tell you that only you. If you understand that you have the power, we talked about it in a couple of other shows, that you, if you remember Y-O-U, and no, you don't, you put yourself in brackets and say Y-O-U, yes. And, you know, I told on the last show, told people to get a journal and write down you. You can do this. You can, you know, start affirming things in your life. And if, even if you have to put your name or just say you, you got to talk to yourself and say, you, Michelle, can do this. You, Sandrine, you can do this. You, Lisa, you can do this. You, whatever your name is, you remember to say that you can do it. Remember to tell yourself that because a lot of times if you don't tell yourself that you can do something, guess what? You will not do it because not everybody is going to tell you you can do this. Not everybody is going to say, go ahead, you know, I'm so proud of you. You're not going to always hear that. So you have to find that motivation within yourself to be able to do that. But going back to the second part of the stanza of the poem, gone seem the days, spirit broken, listening. A lot of people are listening, just hoping, you know, trying to find somebody that they can find motivation from or get motivation from. A lot of people want that, and that's why I wanted to offer this show because I've gone through all of my life where people would come to me, strangers. Even my family would be around me sometimes, and I'm out and about, and strangers would come up to me. And my family, you know, they would say, oh, my goodness, you know, just what is it that people want from you? And, you know, it took me for a while to understand that this is part of my purpose because I am a people person, and I am a very nurturing person, and I never like to see anyone hurt. And if I have the answer, I'm very willing to share what I know, because a lot of people do. It's, you know, everybody walks in this life that will walk in this life, they will need somebody, including myself. You know, a lot of times people think that life coaches or ministers or pastors and things of that nature, that we don't have days where we just don't feel like moving on. But we do. We have those days. But the great thing about it is that we know how to progress. When we get there in that point, all right, we'll say, okay, let's cry a little bit. And let's moan a little bit, let's groan a little bit. Okay, that's enough. Let's move on and get back on track. And that's the difference, is that, you know, being able to be in a position of knowing that, you know, I can't stay in this place. I cannot, because if I stay in this position, I will always be there because I'm not progressing. I will hinder myself from progressing to, you know, my highest potential in life. So we have to, you know, get to that point. Like, if we're listening and searching for answers, that's okay. If you need a role model or a mentor, things of that nature. But, you know, that shows great power in you as well, because once you come to realize that you do need help, you do need somebody to kind of hold your hand, somebody that pray you through, or somebody that can motivate you and show you what's already in you. That's a part of, you know, self-healing within itself, because you recognize that you do need help. And so that's one of the amazing things that I so enjoy, that when people come into the realization for themselves, because you have to come into the knowledge yourself and feel that, okay, you know, something has to change, something must change. And once you get that in your spirit, guess what? You will begin to, you know, move in the right direction, and then you'll move right, then you'll move left, and you'll find yourself propelling forward and achieving your goals. And you're like, oh, man, this all it took for was me to begin to seek and search out the answers for myself, for me to get moving and moving in my own purpose. And, you know, this is a wonderful, wonderful position to be in your life, because that means that you are beginning the self-healing process. You're no longer being bound by your fears or bound by your insecurities or bound by what somebody else is saying about what you cannot do in your life. Excuse me, I had to take a sip of water because, you know, a little talking, man, I can get talking, but, you know, especially when I'm talking about helping somebody push past yield, man, I need to, I have to talk, because I want people to understand that, you know, I get a lot of people that listen to the archives, because this is the hour where people are at work, but we do have a lot of people that tune in, and so I want to make sure that I'm saying something that's going to really, truly help somebody push past yield. All right. The next part of that is for answers, purpose unspoken. Sometimes people can't hear what their purpose is. Most people are saying, you know, I don't know what my purpose is. One thing I want to say before I begin to expound on that, we have to stop comparing ourselves to someone else, because we have our own road to travel. No one can travel the road you must travel in order to find your own personal truth. Your own personal truth is your own personal truth, and you need to own it. Because the moment you keep comparing yourself to Sally Sue's life, that means your focus is on Sally Sue's life. And guess where your life purpose is? You're stuck on the road, by the road, on the wayside. You broke down and you're not moving forward. It's just like you know, at the on the road, you know, no gas, flat tires. You know, that's kind of an interesting analogy, but, you know, when you think about it, you know, you can't move. When you run out of gas on the side of the road, guess what? You're not moving. Your engine is not being revved up, and you got a flat tire. Guess what? You're stagnant in one position. You can't move forward. I hope you guys get that analogy. But that's the same premise, that, you know, when you are in that position and you're focusing on somebody else, it's just like you a car on the wayside, you know, broke down. Because you're allowing yourself to focus on, oh, she's doing wonderful, she's doing great. And you're keeping your own self from being wonderful and being great when you do that. So, you know, I want to encourage you as an individual, all of you under the sound of my voice, encourage you to travel your own role, you know, find your own personal truth and begin to self-heal yourself by, you know, listening to your inner self. Because you know what? When we want to do things in our lives, it begins in the answers coming within ourselves. We hear it, but we kind of block it out because of all the negative stuff around us. And it's just interesting thing that, you know, that happens a lot to so many people. They don't understand that when you're given a vision to do something, that means that God wants you to have that vision to do that. And he may not want you to share it with everybody else, and he may give you all the answers to how to bring it into life, but we're still so bound. So I want to help you get past that. All right, we're going to go to, you know, the time is winding up. All righty, let's go to step number two. Step number one was learning how to properly relax. We kind of touched on step number two a little bit, but you would be amazed. Step number two is rhythmic breathing. You'll be surprised at how, if you inhale and exhale, how releasing that is, how calming that is. I know in the past, if I've gotten upset about something, I'll allow myself to inhale, exhale. Trust me, it does calm you down. It helps you from having outbursts, saying things that you don't want to regret saying later. It's so important to get control of yourself and find little natural ways to do that. God has given us so many natural ways to do things, but we don't use those natural things that are at our disposal. And you just eat, you know, you could do these things while you're at work. If you're at work and you're getting upset about something, find yourself just, you know, go to a place or immediately, especially if you're dealing with something or someone on the job that's really getting on your last nerve. Let me just put it out. Getting on your last nerve. Allow yourself. Don't allow anybody to take your joy or strip you of your joy or your mental sanity because of something of what they're doing, because when you allow them to do that, they have won. So begin to learn how to say, okay, you know, let's not let this person upset me, because there are people out there who are advocates for chaos and starting things. It's just like that is their life purpose, because they're so miserable. And you hear the old cliche that misery loves company. That's so true, because there are so many people that are miserable. They just do not want to be alone. But don't let anybody take and strip you of your personal sanity and your inner peace. So, you know, breathing, you know, in and out. These are just simple things that I want to share with you, you know, because it's a part of self-healing yourself. Because if you're always out of control and you don't get yourself in control, you're just going to be an out-of-control person that's just, you know, headed for a head-on collision with life. That's what it is. You will be headed for a head-on collision with life. And guess what? Life is going to win, because life teaches you a lot of things. And life is, you know, life drives us, you know, has control of the will of what happens in our life, unless we decide to say, hey, life, I'm going to, you know, step toe-to-toe with you and take control of the will of myself. Hope you guys understand that. All right. And then it just says to simply relax. Do not try to follow words. Do not try to, you know, try too hard. Because so many people try to make, you know, it's just simple breathing in and breathing out. Sometimes people think you have to go this special way. People give you these special methods and different things. But you have to do whatever is comfortable for you. I'm not going to tell you to breathe like six times, then seven times. You know, I'm just telling you just to inhale, exhale, and allow yourself to just, you know, become one with your own inner peace. If you need to incorporate a little calming music in there, by all means do that, because again, we have to take control of our inner selves. Do not worry if you fall asleep during this exercise, because sometimes when you begin to just really calm yourself and breathe in and breathe out, and if you're sitting in a quiet place, some people have prayer rooms, some people have, they may go to a little corner in their office, they may go in a little closet, just calm down. So whatever your process is, make sure it's your process, and while you're doing that, allow yourself to just be totally relaxed and understand and allow new information and new inspirations to come in during that moment of being quiet in your life. Even if you're married or you have children, like I, you know, I'm not married, but I have a daughter. She's 19 now, but for the most part, she's a great kid. But every family has things that they deal with, and you know, just a little bit of things, you know, out of just get out of control a little bit. But you know, bring it back with bringing the harmony in your back in your home. And for the most part, my daughter, she is a wonderful kid, and she agrees with me with having harmony in the home. She even has her own selection of quiet music, and it's wonderful when you get teenagers who understand and want to mimic what you're doing. They see what you're doing in your life, and they want that same thing because they can recognize the peace and how it benefits their life. And our young people need that, because so many of our young people are dealing with so many issues, and it saddens me that, you know, recently, you know, watching new news and seeing children being bullied at school. So if we're paying attention to our children and teaching them how to, you know, take control of their life and find peace and not get to the point where the things that they're dealing with in life bringing them to the point of suicide, those kind of things hurt my heart, because if we just allow ourselves to just pay attention and use some of these tactics of you know, form of relaxing, form of, you know, telling our teens that we can do something better, you don't have to resort to ending your life because of what somebody else is doing. And so I'm so, you know, blessed to have a teenage daughter who understands whatever she's dealing with, there's always a better option. And, you know, that is something I want to share with us women and moms, you know, grandmothers, aunts. You know, our children look to us. If they have nobody else, they look to us. And if we know how to deal with things in our life, guess what? We can pass it on to them and help them to be able to deal with things in their life. And so I wanted to get that out there for some reason, because, you know, it's just something that it just came to mind about our teenagers and our youth and our young women. They need to self-heal within themselves, because so many of them have such low self-esteem. They're having so many babies by different men, and I believe, and I'm not in a position, I'm not judging them, because, you know, I love them. I think that, you know, if they had a little bit of direction, that they would make different choices. And so many of them, the reason why they have so many children out of wedlock is because they are searching for something. They are searching for love. They are searching for self-healing. A lot of them don't even want to be in the position that they're in, but, you know, each time they feel like they found love, they try to take that opportunity, and because they don't understand, nobody has given them any direction. Nobody has given them a way to come to someone to help them. And that's one of the things I am passionate about, because I am a mom and because I have a daughter. You know, we need to go back to where we used to teach our young women and young men. I'm speaking, you know, from young saying young women, because, you know, this is, I'm a woman. Sorry, I'm just saying that in case we have some men listening. You know, I'm not leaving you guys out, because I certainly believe that you contribute to you know, our young people, and that you can help them as well and teach them as well. Speaking from a woman's point of view, I'm just, you know, just speaking from that point of view, wanting people to understand that we need to help our young women and teach them how to understand love and receive love. And bring them to a place of self-healing within themselves. Because if they see, you know, see you doing, you know, great things, you'll be surprised how much our children mimic us, and you think they're not listening. My daughter throughout her life has surprised me. When I thought she wasn't listening to what mommy had to say, guess what? You know, I'm hearing, you know, different things from different people saying, well, your daughter was like, my mommy taught me not to do this and do that, so I'm not doing it. You know, out of my presence, it's just a wonderful thing when a person reports to you that your child is listening to your teachings. And you and trust me, that teenagers, they don't really want to be rebellious. They don't really want to, you know, they want somebody to show them the way or love them and teach them how to have self-worth within themselves. So mommies, guess what? Let's get back on the wagon. Let's heal ourselves so we can heal our children. All right. I had to go down that road. You know how they say in church when God leads you in a direction, you have to allow him to speak, because you never know who's listening, who needs to hear that. So, and that all came from just talking about breathing. But inhale and exhale, sisters and fathers and aunts and uncles, let's, you know, take back control of ourselves so we can heal our young people. But we're going to go to the very next step. All right. Let me just expound a little bit. Taking back your power. All right. Here we go. Taking back your power. You know what? What that means is that you have to allow yourself to absorb everything beautiful, everything wonderful, everything positive, everything motivational, you know, because if we absorb all of those things, reabsorb our natural state of when God created us whole, guess what? We will not have room for the negative stuff in our lives. We will not. It's just like, okay, I tell people, you know, you never want to tell people, you would never want to get in a position where you're shunning people and making them, the people feel uncomfortable because you have decided to live a peaceful life, because there's a proper way to do everything. But if there's a negative person in my circle, I don't speak to them and say, oh, you're such a negative person. You don't have to do that. You just really allow yourself to remove yourself from the circle. You don't have to say anything to them, because a lot of times you know what you need to do is, you know, pray for that person, and you don't need to say you pray for them, because then you come off as self-righteous. Sometimes people need to see your pattern and see you living a quality life, and guess what? People will pay attention. You just remove, you know, I just remove myself. If somebody's being negative or gossiping about other people, I'm going to say, you know, I don't want to be around these type of people. I don't want to be around you, because that's the wrong attitude, because you would never, you know, allow that person won't even want to be around you, because you're making them feel worthless when you don't want to make them feel that way. You want to let them see your light so they can identify with what's wrong in their life or what's going on in their life that they perhaps need to change, and be a role model and example to them. And they'll want what you want, because if your life is so peaceful and they're so always so chaotic, they're going to say, wait a minute, what is she doing different that I'm not, so I can get some of that peace. Anything worth having and valuable, people want some of it. So when you get to the point of start absorbing all of the positive things in your life, people will recognize that, people will identify with that and want some of that. And so you just be a light to yourself, for yourself, and let the light shine to other people by you living an example, you know, being a preacher of what you, living what you preach. And that's taking back the power in your life. If you're in the state of mind where you're hoping, you're going through life and wondering, you know, what is my purpose, what am I supposed to be doing, all of those things, when you take back all the natural state of where God created us, he wanted us to be whole, and you begin to really pay attention to what you want to do or what you desire to do in your life, that's all about planning. And you'll begin to say, man, I'm feeling that my life is changing. Other people will be saying, you know, Michelle, your life is changing. You know, so whatever your name is, you know, people will say, you know, I'm noticing a good difference in you. And we find ourselves, we give away our power a lot of times to other people because, you know, like we were talking about earlier, you have your haters. You know, if you allow yourself to, you know, be affected by the hate and keep yourself stagnant in that one position, then you allow those people to take away your power. And because that's where people, you know, negative people want you to be, powerless. That's where the enemy wants you to be, powerless. And so you don't want to be powerless because God has given us the power to do things that we so desire to do. He said he will give us the desire of our hearts, so allow him to do that. That's if you, you know, follow the Christian path. You know, if you have a higher power, again, this is not a religious show, but, you know, you can't really talk about positive images and living positive without kind of bringing God into somehow because he is the creator and of all things good and evil, you know, whether people believe it or not, because, you know, they both go, you know, the yin and the yang of everything in life. All right, but, you know, reabsorb all those things, positive energy, you know, positive people, being around positive circles of people. And, you know, I'm going to say this, and I ain't going to really expound on it too much, but sometimes when you decide that you want to live a happy life, and you want to, you know, live a certain way, you want to be successful in your life, you are going to lose friends. And you have to be strong enough to say, that's okay. You know, because people are not, there are some people who ain't going to ever, you know, and I'm sorry, I'm not using proper English, but that's the best way to express it so you can feel it. There are some people that ain't going to ever want to change their life because they're set in their ways. But you, if you make that decision in your life that you want to move forward, be successful, sometimes you will have to lose some of those friends. You can still love them, but love them from a distance and keep on moving with your life. And, you know, if they want to change, let them catch up. But don't you, you know, stay stagnant in one position. Keep it moving in your life. All right, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to quickly go through it. The next step, number two was taking back your power. And I told you how to, you know, what to do some of those things. Step three is anger and cruelty. So many of us hang on to anger and all of the things that we, if you allow people to get you angry and keep you angry, guess what? Again, step number two, you have allowed them, part of step, you know, discussion of step number two, you have allowed them to take your power and you will be stagnant in one position. You will not have peace and harmony in your mind, body, and soul. Because you're hanging on to anger. Let it go. Though sometimes you don't even realize that anger or, you know, grudges, people, you're holding on to that and you're not allowing yourself to heal past that pain. That's what you must do, heal past your pain. If you're wondering why you're staying in one position, you're not allowing yourself to heal past that pain. So I'm saying to you, here's how one of the things that you can let go of anger and you know, those past hurts, forgive that person no matter whether they were right or you were wrong or whatever. You're not doing it for you. For them, you're doing it for yourself. You have to release it and let it go. And especially if you don't think, even if you think a person don't want to forgive you or don't want to, you know, love you or heal past whatever the issue is, that's okay, because you have to do this for yourself. It's going to be some people who just ain't going to change and they ain't going to want to say they sorry. Even if they're wrong, you know they were wrong. Forget of that situation. Put that situation in your hand. Throw it away. Stop all that until you can't see and let it be the dust under your feet and keep it moving. Keep it moving, people. So step number three, anger and cruelty, let it go, because you need to allow that peace and harmony. That's only going to be the way that you allow that peace and harmony to come back in your life. And again, part of your self-healing. Let me go to number four. Because I want to get all these steps in real quick. An hour is never enough, really. Step number four, fear, lack, and abuse of power. Okay, we kind of touched on the fear. But people, let's talk about lack a little bit. A lot of times people look at what they don't have and keep themselves in one position. And so they get in the self-pity mode, and because they say, well, I don't have this, I don't have you, you start making excuses for what you don't have, and therefore you allow yourself to stay, guess what, in one position, never growing, never progressing beyond the yield sign. It's just you're not doing it because you're holding on to the thoughts of I don't have, or again, you know, It's just you know, you don't realize that you're damaging yourself. You're affecting yourself. It's just like you allowing your fears and all of that to brew and grow into a weed, because you know when you're planting good plant on good soil, you want to bring forth a good, beautiful flower, beautiful plant. But if there are weeds in the midst, it affects the growth of that beautiful flower. And, you know, sometimes if you grow, you know, and I'm going to use analogies because, you know, people can understand analogies. When you're planting a flower and then you have weeds, that's why they don't want, you know, when people that's into gardening, they don't want weeds where they, you know, planted their flowers, because the weeds can come and choke the life out of their beautiful flowers. And then next thing you know, you're wiltering away, because the weed has come to choke the life out of you. So, you know, again, those things, you know, thinking about lack and all of those things, they're just like, you know, weeds. They will choke the life out of you, and, it, you know, they will say, the lack will say, you know, you can't do it. The lack will say, you know, I just can't do it. Or she said I can't do it. Lack of motivation, lack of determination, all of those things you lack, and your lack of resources. That's the number one thing. People, when we want to do something and we don't have the money or something to do with it, you know, to accomplish what we want to accomplish, that keeps us in a position where we're, again, not growing. I'm going to tell you one thing about myself. I will find a way out of no way. You know, and it's just like, you know, we will be having business segments. I will be having, like, talking about business management. In fact, I have a community program coming up in the city of Inkster relatively soon, showing people how to build a business off a dime. And it's just, you know, it's so mean. You have to be creative. If you have a creative mind, you can sell popsicle sticks and make a business out of. You just have to know what to do, what people are going to pay for. And I just use a popsicle stick because I want people to understand the simplicity of things allow for you to create these mega wonderful businesses. You just got to get beyond saying, I can't, you know, is there no way possible? I don't have enough money. And after I have that segment, I'm going to make sure that I share that experience with the women that are in the community about building a business on a dime. I got I have my life coaching business. I'm running this radio network, and I have my Michael Michelle Publishing House, and all of those things. I'm using those are businesses that I've built, and I've, you know, had businesses before. And you know, I used to have a clothing store that I ran out of my condo, and that went great. I was selling church hats, school, you know, things of that nature. And the only reason why I stopped doing that is because, you know, I wanted to do something different. And then, you know, I knew I didn't want to get a physical store, but it became to a point where it was so demanding. And, you know, and I had to get to the point to see if I wanted to get a building and all of that, and if I really wanted to take it that far. And at the time, I did not, because, you know, my condo was getting so full. I actually had it set up like a department store where I had clothing racks, and, you know, people would be able to come over, and I would give discounts to the church ladies or whatever. You know, just a beautiful, and I used to be a consultant, and I used to, you know, do self-imaging to help people, you know, feel good about themselves. And so, you know, I have a lot of experience with helping people to build businesses. And, you know, you'll be surprised as to how simple things could be if you just get it started. and, you know, don't worry about anything else. Just get started, you know, and that's what I love helping people to do. Get past you. Get past your fears. Get past of saying, I don't have the money, or get past all of that. That's what I love doing, helping people to get past you. All righty, let me, so remember, fear, lack, and the abuse of power, don't, you know, that has no place in somebody that wants to really truly heal and progress in their life. Step number five, unreachable goals, ethics and morals, false expectations and identifications. Whew. Okay. Now, in this position, you know, this is the time you just really need to be saying, I am going to let go of all the damaging effects that this type of fear does, because if you're making goals and they're unreachable in your sight, you're going to make it unrealistic goals, or you're not a person that has high ethics and standards and morals, and you're trying to do things and incorporate people in that process, and you're not truly a trustworthy person, or, you know, have loyalty and all of those things, then you will always stay in a certain position too, because people, you need to be able to be trusted by people. People need to be able to see you in a certain light, especially when you giving service or trying to get people to pay for things that you're doing. So, you know, in order for you to accomplish your goals, you also have to be a moral standard person with some integrity, you know, in your life. People don't understand that. People don't want to deal with bitter, people that's trying to trick people or to misuse people or abuse people and manipulate people or take advantage of them not being as educated or that you may be or as knowledgeable as you may be on a particular topic or theme. You know, and you don't have to know a lot when somebody is feeding you a whole bunch of bull. And, you know, that's as far as I'm going to go with that, bull. But you got to realize that you have to have integrity, and that's a part of self-healing, because a lot of times people have been hurt so many times in their lives that they hang on to so much stuff that they feel like they need to combat people with, negative approaches or manipulating them so they can get exactly what they want out of this person, and you don't have to do that. You really, truly don't. If you are a person that people see and can respect and trust what you're doing, and they see the beautiful, positive things that you are doing, and it's really, truly helping other people, guess what? They are going to, you know, people will recognize that. People are, you know, you don't have to have a PhD to know when somebody ain't right or if they're wrong. You know, it just, you don't. So those are some of the things. If you're setting goals and then you get those goals and emotions and you find yourself, okay, self-healing and you're actually doing what you aspire to do, then, you know, have a great, you know, high moral standard about it, and don't allow yourself to fall in that position just because you want to get money or things out of people to begin to fall in that category of being immoral or false or saying things that are not true just to get what you want out of other people. So that's important about self-healing, because then you know that people will appreciate you and respect you, and you don't have to be manipulative or be a person that cannot be trusted, because that's another thing that keeps us from progressing forward, because we're, allowing ourselves to be used in a negative way. Whew. Okay, let me hurry up. We got 7 more minutes, but step number 6, religious and spiritual desire. I'm just going to say this real quickly. All right, church folks, I know y'all probably going to get mad as a sister, but I'm just going to say it. We know that God is good. We know that, you know, it's very important for us to have a relationship with the Father, the Almighty. But sometimes we get too overzealous and we run people away, and they can, they're, who are looking for self-healing, because most of the time when people go to church, they are looking for answers. They are looking for to be healed or helped. And we have so many overzealous people in the church who are not allowing themselves to be truly used by God to, you know, help people push past you, help people to be happy. You can't do that by beating them with religion or being so overly spiritual that you can't see their need. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it again. I know somebody probably going to get mad, but it's okay. I have to speak it because, you know, the point is to help people push past you in their lives. And, then, you know, so many people don't want to go to church because, you know, they feel like they're being so judged and they feel like they can't get help because, you know, we're going to damn them to hell before they can even say or come into the realization, oh, I need help or I need this, you know. People in the church, please, please allow people to come in and let what the Bible says, that the Spirit of the Father will draw them. Let that be the process that these people go through because people truly, they are dealing with some damaging things in their lives and they truly, truly need help. And, you know, if you're coming up in their face trying to say, well, you need this religion, you need Jesus and all of that, and amen, you know, come on now. You know, I grew up in the Pentecostal church, and I share different views now, but, you know, and I thank the Father for my beginnings and my, you know, my teachings, but I've also come into the realization, you know, of being a spiritual person and that I truly have a relationship with God. I don't have a religious connection with the church. I don't even go there, but I'm just going to say that we have to allow ourselves to be guided by the Spirit to, you know, help people heal, you know, begin that self-healing process. And it's not going to happen with them being damned to hell or beat over the head with a Bible and condemned so much where they, you know, they feel like they can't even talk to nobody in the church because, you know, a perfect person in this church has already judged them before they hit the sanctuary door. You know, we have to do something different, people. Do something different because there are a lot of hurting people and they are truly seeking help and they can only do that if somebody's willing to listen and be non-biased and really being open to understand what they're going through so we can help them, you know, push past that hurt and pain in their life and move forward. All right, number six, we expounded on that. I wish I had a little more time. But religious spiritual desires, people want to be spiritual. People know that in the church, but it's not going to happen. You're not going to make them be spiritual with, you know, not understanding what their need is within themselves. All right, last but not least, we're going to go take it to number seven, judgment, self-love, and forgiveness above any other thing, excuse me. People, if you're seeking for self-healing, you must begin to forgive yourself. I say that for last because I wanted to expound on it the most. But I wanted that to be my parting words, is forgiving yourself. You may have done things in your life that you're not so proud of, but guess what? Many of us have. You may have at one point say, you know, I just don't even care anymore. You just, you know, gave up on wanting to do anything in life. You're your biggest critic and all of those things. But you have to get past that and allow yourself to heal. Say, you know what, I don't want to be this way anymore. You have to come to that realization. Nobody else can bring it to you and say, well, hey, you need to do this and you need to do that. You know, somebody can talk to you, but I'm saying what you have to do is come into that realization yourself. Forgive yourself of all your past. You know, I don't want to say sins, but, you know, for lack of a better word right now, your past sins or your past transgressions, forgive yourself for those things so you can begin to self-heal and be enlightened with, you know, a new inspiration, a new motivation in life. And I can't stress that enough. And those are the seven steps that I wanted to share with you to begin your self-healing. I think that I'm going to have to, you know, make this a part two because I do want to have some other things to say because it's a lot of self-healing. But we did talk about writing, beginning that part, you know, and I keep incorporating it. Using poetry, if you feel like you're a poet, get to writing some stuff down. Even if you got to go back to the grade school days where roses are red, violets are blue, I'm awake today and I'm feeling new. You know, just get it. Even if it sounds a little corny, you know, that will automatically put a smile on your face because you can say to yourself, man, that was so doggone corny, but it was cute. And, you know, I find myself doing that, you know, but I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in to the Poetic Energy Network station today on this hour of Mia Last, Life with Michelle of Mia Last. Happy Life Coaching. Oh, my tongue is getting tired. But, you know, I see so many of you have hung out with me, and I so appreciate your presence here. I want to personally invite those in the Michigan area. I will be doing some weekend excursions where we, you know, some of us ladies will be going on trips very soon, just weekend trips just to get away from it all. And you know that, you know, to reach me, if you are interested in doing that, the number is 734-288-7189. That's to my life coaching business. And give me a call to say, you know, hey, Michelle, I'm interested in some of the things that you're doing. We're going to be having a build a business on a workshop on how to build a business on a dime. And for those of you who are not in the Michigan area, I will be sharing that show on the air, just some highlights from that workshop on the air. So if you're interested in how to build a business on a dime, because you can do it. There are so many things that you can do, especially in these times like that, that you can still build a business without having to have a lot of startup money. We are going to, you know, I have a weekly community support group where we're, you know, plus size divas, and, you know, teaching them how to holistically eat better, exercise better. And, you know, and I say, you know what, I'm going to help my sisters help me lose some weight together. Let's lose weight together. So we're doing that every Tuesday night from 7 to 9 at the YWCA in Inkster, Michigan. So if you are interested in being a part of that, again, please feel free to call me at 734-288-7189, and I'll be happy to take your RSVP. I only charge $3 per session. There's a $35 charge if you want to do a membership and get a custom Mia Happy Life Coaching T-shirt, of course, with my little signature on it or what have you. And we're going to be doing some great things just coming up with helping people to live a happier life because you can live happy. And with that being said, I just want to say thank you. Peace out, Detroit. All right, I know that sounds a little ghetto, but I got to let you know that I have a sense of humor. I may be professional, but you have to have a sense of humor. People have to be able to relate to you. So I'm hoping that you know, you realize that I am relatable, I am approachable, and I am a people person, and I have a heart for people. So just reach out and touch me if you want to talk to me. And, again, you can reach me at 734-288-7189. If you have any coaching needs, if you feel yourself stagnant in life and you want to say, hey, you know, I need Michelle because I've helped people, I coached them into a book. You know, they wanted to write a book, but, you know, they just didn't know how to do it. And you know, that's a story in itself. Or that's how I, you know, kind of got into publishing, just wanted to help people to get past that point and give them a way to, you know, make their dreams come true. And I got a lot of authors that I'm going to be bringing on the scene relatively soon. So, you know, that's another thing that's going on. But anyway, it's just such a wonderful life, and, you know, you can do it too. So I love you, and we'll see you next week, the same time, the same place. Love you. Have a happy day. Talk to you soon. Life. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh,